they are about to start. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A warm welcome to the delegation from Eastern Cape, led by the MEC, Honorable Helen August, accompanied by the delegation from both metros of the Eastern Cape, Buffalo City and Nelson Mandela. This is a meeting of the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement. In case you found yourself here and you are not supposed to be here, you can slowly find yourself out. It's a normal meeting. It's a scheduled meeting which follows up on the meetings that we've been having with provinces. Honorable members will remember that we had invited provinces and we had 6 attending, and we had 3 that did not attend. And then in previous meeting, we interacted with the 2, Northern Cape and State, and we were left with 1, which is the province of the Eastern Cape. They are here today so that we can interact with their business plan, their state plan, and everything. I'm going to hand over to the National Department, which is here as well, led by the CEO, Mr. Mbulelo Thangana. How we normally do this process is that the National Department presents, then they hand over to the Provincial Department, and then the metals will end. So nothing is going to change. That's going to be modus operandi. It's simply a presentation, which I know that in the previous interactions with the municipalities, particularly those that have met, we have been mostly unhappy with how the USDG is being utilized. That's why specifically metros are our interest, because we would like to understand how they are functioning. But obviously, the presentation is broader than that. I'm going to hand over, therefore, to the National Department. Mr. Thangana, you know how you're going to do this. And then to those presentations, you are all welcome. Warmly so, in the cold, in Western Cape, city of Cape Town, National Parliament. My name is Nopawe Mafu, those that don't know me. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement. I'm a very nice person. Don't hear anything that they tell you. Very sweet. I test like sugar. You are welcome. Over to you, Mr. Thangana.
Thank you, Chair. We are not going to take much of your time. The accounting officers from the 3 institutions are here, and they will lead us. Chair, you recall that we were here and we presented the national outlook, how provinces have performed in the last financial year, 2014-2015. We also presented here the business plans of the 9 provinces. We made a presentation on the plans, the built environment performance plans of the metros. It's important to note, Chair, that the year end for the metros is in a month's time. So what is going to be presented here by the 2 metros is not a complete picture, and they will be giving us up to the third quarter of the municipal financial year. They will give us the performance figures, but they will also tell us a little bit about the targets that they will be setting for themselves in the coming year. I must say, and I'm not saying this because the MEC is here, that we were pleased by the performance of the Eastern Cape in the last financial year, and you will see the figures, they speak for themselves, that the province did very well in the last financial year. In fact, they exceeded their targets. If you look at Buffalo City's graph as well, Buffalo City Metro, you will notice that the performance graph has been going up consistently over the last 3 years. Things are much better than where we were 3 years ago. We, more than 3 years, I think in 2012, we debated again to assist Buffalo City to package some of the built environmental performance plans. We pleased with the performance of Buffalo City currently. I think the graph has been going up in terms of performance. The same chair could say about Nelson Mandela, my colleague Neville Shane, who's sitting behind me, did the performance review of all the institutions last week, and he looked at how the metros are performing, and I'm sure you'll see the figures as well. There are those metros which are still sitting at 40% of the expenditure of the USDG card. Nelson Mandela is not one of those metros, and I think they're doing okay. But the city manager is here from Nelson Mandela. He will lead us, he will account properly. The city manager from Buffalo City is also here. He's going to make a presentation. They will present both the actual figures and the plans going forward. But we will be led by the HOD from the province. The HOD from the province will start and present the provincial outlook and the plans for the year under review. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chan. Probably we will hand over to the ministry first, and then she can introduce her delegation, say a few words, and hand over to the SOT from the SMT.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, and all other members present here today. Firstly, Chairperson, I think it would just be correct, as in brief, that we could not be present in the last meeting. My sincere apologies on behalf of the Eastern Cape Department of Human Settlement. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to be called the night before and to be told that you have to be somewhere. But I think between ourselves and the National Department, I think we have managed to also to deal with our own communication challenges that we had at that particular point in time. So please do accept our sincere apologies. It would never be in our interest not to attend these meetings. And I think it is always an opportunity for us, the Eastern Cape, to come to yourselves, honorable members, to not only to table and to present what we have on offer, but also to acknowledge those achievements of which we are very proud as the Eastern Cape, remembering where we have come from and the path that we have set now, the trajectory that we have been on. Also, it's an opportunity for us, honorable children and members, to also lobby for the good that we have done and to get your support behind us for the more that we would want to do. So, this is an ideal opportunity for us, clearly. Yes, in the presentation that HOD will do, he will highlight our outlook for 15-16 financial year, which we are positive already. The first quarter is almost completed. We know where we are standing and we are in line with the plans that have been put there. But we will also be dealing and highlighting certain of the challenges that we are experiencing in the Eastern Cape. You will note that in the media a couple of weeks back, the issue of beneficiaries moving into certain of the units prior to the NHBRC signing of certification there, or prior to them even signing of the happy letters that happened in Buffalo City. These kind of things we are dealing with decisively when they do emerge. It is one of those unfortunate things when houses have been completed, that these kind of pressures from beneficiaries and the municipalities is put on the NHBRC and contractors, but we have spoken sternly to both structures, and we are dealing with those kind of issues within the province. You have our commitment that we will not fail to deal with those challenges in the Eastern Cape. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah. The HOD was in the presentation, Honorable Chairperson. My apologies.
Thank you very much.
Who is this HOD?
This issue is a point there, Tad. No, it is the is our HOD, Mr. Gaspar Shapley, who is the head of the department, and he will be able to present the presentation. But Chairperson, do caution him that he must not be long-winded. I think that's a good caution that he must understand. He must be concise and ambiguous in his presentation. Thank you so much.
Principal has spoken, but the honourable members will remember Mr. Shapley. We have interacted with him before when we were dealing with the conductors from Nelson Mandela at some point. So you are not seeing the face for the first time. He did appear in front of the court. Over to you, Mr. Shapley.
Honourable MEC, I'm not sure what the honourable chair would remind us of that session. But sir, thank you so much, honourable MEC, honourable chairperson, and honorable members of this committee and colleagues, our leadership from the two metals. I'm going to be very brief, and I think there are two things that we're going to focus on. One is the past financial year, and then also the plans for the next financial year. Honorable Chair, if you are out of the country for 5 years and listen to this presentation about our past performance, you would think it's not true about the Eastern Cape. It's a completely different picture than it used to be before, and I will show you exactly why. In the past, we've been sitting with a department of the Eastern Cape that has enjoyed an unqualified auditor premier for the past 2 years. We also have managed to spend the grants that have been given to us, and we also have staff stability within the department. We have a new service delivery model, and the department's pipeline is looking as though for the next 3 and 5 years we will have productivity on site. From 2011, when there were only about 5 contractors that were performing on site, we're sitting over 60 contractors that are actually performing on site, and production is there, and hence we end up with funding challenges halfway through the year. If you go to slide 4, the non-financials, from the targeted sites, our target was 10,000 and 39, we've achieved 12,586. The target for units, top structures, was 13,609. We've achieved 14,023 units. Rectification, we put it at the bottom because it's not necessarily something we want to be proud of. It does make sense saying that you achieved your target for rectification, but we have achieved what we set out to do, which was the target of 2,721, and we rectified 3,271. And of course the other targets that we have relating to outcomes aid. The financial performance and our time speaks for numbers. Honorable Chair, what we did do, and this is there for you to read, but I want to specifically talk about the overall picture. We received a grant of 2.1 billion. From the 2.1 billion, we started noticing that performance on site was faster than our monthly cash flow projections, and from October we started requesting the Honourable MEC spoke with the Minister, and we were allocated additional funding in December, which arrived in February of 233 million. So the just under 2.4 billion rand was spent for the end of the financial year by the department, and it yielded the 40,023 units that you picture. And If you look at the product cost, we are way below all provinces on value for money as a province on what it's costing to produce a product. We are grateful to the National Department for the additional funding they gave us, but we have already sent them a letter saying that there's a cost us in some delay. So if there's anyone that is struggling, we are willing to make sure the money stays within the sector, because the productivity in the Eastern Cape is at an all-time high and the pipeline is looking good. What we have done to try and manage the what could be a good crisis, we have we meet contractors once a month, and we say to them that we prioritize finishers. So those contractors that build foundations and think they're going to get money out of the Eastern Cape, we put them at the back of the queue. Fortunately, we're still within the 30-day payment cycle, so we're not yet in a crisis as such. Chair, if it's okay, honourable members, I won't go into the details of each of the the deliverables. But if you look at title deeds, we're still struggling as a department to achieve the targets of getting the backlog of title deeds in the province and handing over. And as the Honourable MEC has said, the issue of beneficiary administration, one of the challenges around title deeds is when you go and try and assert a community, you find that most of the people in those houses are no longer the original beneficiaries that were there when the houses were built. So that's something that is struggling. But what we've done now, every new project, we bring in a legal team to start the title deed registration process immediately. Military veterans, we are proud of the progress on military veterans. What we decided at the Eastern Cape is that even though the military veterans department, we're still trying to find the administrative way of bridging the gap, the finance that they're supposed to contribute, we're going ahead and we're building. We are sitting at 95% completion on the Lukanji 200 project. So that one, the services are done with the contractors just finishing off those services, and they will start with the first lot of top structures. They're targeting by end of this month first 5 units so that we can have a celebration with Honourable MEC for the first 5 beneficiaries, military veterans. Disaster relief, there's from the annual target, we're struggling in the province with areas like Alfred and Zor, where there's recurring disasters. So you go in and put temporary shelters, you get disaster relief, but the very next year, you know, the state funding that's been given to communities has been compromised. We've met the district municipality, and we've made a suggestion to them that we rather look at them servicing that immediate disaster relief. So if someone, 3 rings have fallen off their roof or windows have been shattered, then the municipality can assist them, and we just spread the municipality with some funding to help people immediately rather than waiting for an expensive temporary shelter to come and then the next year it's going to be blown off again. That's what we've done. Obviously, with the backlog in Alfred and Zor alone, 3,200 from 2010, when you analyze the data of who is the backlog, you'll find there's teachers, there's police, there's a range of people that don't qualify for the products that we offer as governments. So it's a matter of separating that, and those who are eligible beneficiaries, we then make sure that they can get what's due to them through the state, and we projectize it as well. The other thing is, in Alfred and Zor, because the houses are shattered, we were putting them into projects, but contractors don't want a house that's 20 kilometers from the next house. So what the MEC has agreed to is that we will put it into a close proximity contractor and rather extend the scope for those so that you have immediate relief to those communities. The only challenge is to make sure the contractor actually deals with the disaster relief houses first rather than saying, I'll do it when I'm finished with my project. I won't go into the complaints department, which is challenges. Obviously, the complex nature of our sector, there will always be challenges, and we'll remain with those challenges even in the light of what we're basking in the sun with the statistics that we have. But some of the main ones, there's still a challenge with integrated planning between departments. The Honourable MEC chairs the Social Transformation Capital Committee. Myself, I chair the cluster, and the province has done that deliberately to try and force integration of departments around human settlements being the focal point. And not human settlements as a department, but human settlements as a function, as a place of bringing government services to communities. The poor beneficiary management, we have an increased challenge where municipalities, even though beneficiary administration is various, we are starting to get our roll up of sleeves and get involved in that. Bulk infrastructure remains also a major challenge. Just to go to the targets, and if it's okay, I'll skip some of the slides and go straight to slide number 13. Informal settlements upgrade, we are concerned as the province that in the metro there is an increase in the number of informal settlements, and also the regional cities, like Mthatha, for example. There was a project in package called Project A, which is an extension of Maiden Farm. And that one has been invaded, and you'll find that it's civil servants that have actually invaded the land. There's police captains and a few other people that are. So it becomes hard. There is a court order to get them off the land, and the municipality is doing quite well in trying to manage the process of getting their community off that land and making sure that the rightful beneficiaries benefit from it. There are a number in KSG itself. There are a number of projects that are running, the rectification of all the old projects, and also the informal settlement upgrade of Joe Sovo and Kresani and Nelson Mandela parks. That is being done, and that is being done quite successfully as well. A number of households in informal settlements to be provided with access to basic services, 3,056. And we also rely on the metro, the two metros, for the challenges that they face to try and help us achieve the targets of dealing with the 20 sites. Land, we have slowed down on, we're trying to get out of buying land as a province. There are land parcels that are in the pipeline, and we're saying that there are other state agencies that deal with land, and our focus should be on making sure we get land from those state agencies. So currently the land that's in the pipeline, we will achieve the target of 271 hectares for the next financial year. Youth Brigade, the Minister and the NEC are quite close to the issue of youth empowerment. Our department, the Eastern Cape Department, is made up predominantly of young people. We have an average age in the department of 38 years old. Over 250 of the 526 employees are young people. We have a youth forum within the department, and what we have done is the Youth Brigade rollout program within to create skills for youth that are unemployed is going well. There's a couple of projects. Those projects are in Thornhill, in Kersani, Fort Beaufort in Amatol, Elwyn North, and also in Buffalo City Metropolitan Municipality. The department has also initiated discussions with the National Estate Agency's board to pursue the youth building program. Potential training options were explored for 120 youths to take up in the next financial year. Obviously, the portion there is to train 120 young people to become estate agents, but the market must be able to absorb them. So it's a matter of just allowing the transition. Women empowerment, we are quite blessed in our province to have a number of women-owned construction companies. The National Women's Bills, the department has already appointed female contractors utilizing the supply chain process, and they're currently under implementation. Details of the projects as follows. What we have done also, we've got a partnership with SAWIC, and that partnership with SAWIC resulted in us saying to SAWIC, you don't want us to give you projects as though you're emerging contractors. We set aside a project and you compete amongst yourselves as women contractors to make sure that there's some form of competition rather than a sense of entitlement. And there's always a perception that women contractors are emerging, and that's not true. Like the slide will show, LNR is a contractor that is well established. They are a grade 8 contractor. Tussle is also a contractor that's doing extremely well. And also Modeo, that I'm sure honorable members are familiar with. She tends to score all the women awards in business. Uvugo Servos and NX Trading are all women in construction. And there's a range, a whole list of them, of women in construction that we have in the province. The number of units that they are yielding is 7,676. And that's only the big contractors that are women. We're not speaking about those emerging contractors as well. Just the business plan targets for 15-16, we have tended to be a little bit more conservative because if honorable members would note, we had 2.1 billion rand in last financial year. Our budget has dropped by 300 million rand because of the census 2011, which dropped our... We had calculated 750,000 people needed housing in the Eastern Cape. Census has said there's only 606,000 people that need, which dropped then our DORA allocation as a province by 300 million. This is a crisis, because we left 300 million plus we have the 200 million. That was our rules from last year. So we start the year 500 million down. We have spoken to our provincial treasury to try and help us with some of the equitable share, but we've already written to the DG last month, the beginning of the financial year, to ask for some support. Now, sometimes one would think, is it from poor planning? We say no. What we've done is the Eastern Cape, to be able to achieve, we have extended our book to 3 times the capability so that we definitely will deliver. Because you're not guaranteed that if you put a contract on site, that they'll actually deliver. So, and that's making us perform at the levels that we are currently performing. Particularly the rural housing projects. If you go to some of our sites, it's absolutely impossible. We were in Flagstaff last week, Friday, handing over a house to a disabled mama. And the contractor there literally needs a donkey cart to move. You battle, you can't get stuck in there. There's no roads. You're driving on grass. So it's parties and other forms that they have to use to get materials. So there's second and third handling of materials. But there are contractors that are actually doing it, and they're doing it successfully as well. So the units, we are saying it's 13,100, and that's the target. We are proud to say that even though the first quarter has not ended, we are on point to meet the first quarter targets. And as we stand now, the date being the, towards the end of May, we have already completed our allocation for May cash flow. So there are invoices that are already waiting that will start coming from tomorrow for the first run in the next month. Number of server sites is 1,231. The number of, and I'll just go to the totals, to rectify houses, we think our annual target is 2,311. I would like to say, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, obviously with the ratification, there is an intervention between our executives, the Minister, the MEC, and the Executive Mayor in Nelson Mandela, and that is going to put pressure on the rectification targets of the province, because there will be an expectation from the community that the focus must be on rectification in Nelson Mandela. When we speak about rectification in the Eastern Cape, the rectification is only after the NHPRC, only before the NHPRC was legally then created. We don't rectify houses that are outside, that are after NHPRC was brought onto board. So our focus is on those older units and pre-1994. This is regional support, and I'll try and go as quick as possible with this. My apologies. Target for region 2014-16, that's on slide 22. If we notice that the Alberton Zor district has turned out to be one of the most productive of our districts, and we have set them a target based on their expenditure and their performance in the last financial year. And we set them a target of 2,230 units, or number 1,913. We are still trying to look at Ora Tambo, because their budget is not in sync with their target. And we've let it go in the business plan, but in the review, we will make sure that there's alignment. We're always careful to make sure that there's value for money. We don't allow regions to spend on foundations like some regions used to do in the past. Amatole, this one won our Governor Mbeki MEC's award. It's the most, it's the best performing region in the province. Of we've set them a target of 1,670 units for this financial year. If honourable members want to see a beautiful rural project, the Elliadale 5,000, that's in that region, and some of them is beautiful. There's a perception that rural people want round houses. We tested it in Elliadale. It's not true. The community, there's only about 3 people that opted for O8 They all said, no, we want RTD. That's what rooms in it. And given the products, people are quite happy with the product that's being delivered by government. Buffalo City Municipality is 1,338. Obviously, just have to work with Buffalo City for the next financial year for sites, because in the metros, it's good to have a good pipeline of sites, because that produces houses in the end. But in Buffalo City, we've got there's a beautiful PHP project called NeedsCamp that is running. It's sitting at 40% in construction. There are two CROs on site, and it's a project that we are proud of. There are community dynamics. They burn tires, but they're not burning tires about the houses. They're burning tires saying the project is too small, they want more houses, but we do understand it's still internal politics in that particular community because there's an election next year. Kasani, 1,000 units. Tsakadu, which has now been officially renamed to Sara Batman, is 1,313. This region is struggling, and the main reason for it struggling is bulk infrastructure, but we have managed to speak to Dr. to turn up meant, particularly in the Kohan municipality, to make sure that projects can be unlocked there. That has been done, so we should see a turnaround in that particular region. Jobagi is another region that we're struggling, 865, but we are a bit comfortable and confident that we will achieve the target. When it comes to Nelson Mandela Metro, the target is 2,778, which brings us to the 13,000, Honorable Deputy Minister. The rectification, I won't go into the details of rectification, but regional projects, and let me just go to, this is a very important slide, Honorable Chair. just to round it off to say that our challenges are completely different to what they used to be 4 years ago. We now have luxury challenges, don't have enough money, beneficiary administration, but the delivery is no more an issue in the Eastern Cape. The quality of the products is no more an issue in the Eastern Cape. It's just about managing the momentum. Obviously, it's a fragile success because there are issues that keep haunting the department. We are concerned as a department about the regional centers, and we are trying to, our philosophy in the department is that we don't want the Eastern Cape Department of Human Settlements to be the main focus point of a local government election. We don't want that to be the reason for people contestation for politics. We want to do our job and make sure that the community appreciates that government is delivering the services that it intended. Another worrying factor, we are seeing the wood bulk infrastructure is the bucket irrigation. We know that it's now gone back to another department, but it still remains our responsibility to make sure that we, as Nelson Mandela, to address the challenges that they face. We do have cooperation from the two metros, but the challenges are complex in those metros, and we just hope that we'll be able to reduce some of the challenges that they have. Honorable Chair, I will stop there, and with your permission, I will ask the City Manager for Nelson Mandela, Buffalo City.
Thank you very much, SOD from Eastern Cape, Mr. Sapi. Welcome, Deputy Minister Honorable Zokota Frederick. It's always nice to have you in this kind of meeting. So without any waste of time, we are going to move straight to Buffalo City, to a municipal manager there, who will introduce his delegation and then do the presentation from Buffalo City. I will resist to name him. He will say who he is himself, even though I know who he is.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Andy Lefani, City Manager of Buffalo City. I'm here with a team. Close to me is Mr. Thabo Matiwane, who's the acting COO, who's responsible for human settlement. Seated there in front is Jan Pretorius, who's going to take us through the presentation. She is at the Enterprise Project Management Office. At the back is Lawrence Sareta, who's responsible for compliance. Close to Lawrence is Sean Moore, who's responsible for finance and budgeting. And we've got our quotation manager, Kim Gis. You know, daily dispatch lashes, especially me. So we want to put the right perspectives if we are at home. And then, I think that's the team, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, the presentation is going to be done as we end to run through. But I think the first thing that we want to say is that we want to appreciate the support given to us by the National Department as well as the National Treasurer. and working as well with the department in the province. I think for the past years we have been a bit struggling. You wouldn't see anything on the ground, but we are confident today that even if you pass on the land, you'll see a different situation altogether. Though there are challenges, the challenges that we are facing is that the local business, they complain sometimes to say they are not given work, and we realize that in some of the projects really you need companies, big companies that would work and deliver the product, but at the same time, indirectly, though we cannot directly influence the companies who consider the local content as well, it's an important part. The second thing that I would want to reflect is that whatever we've been doing, we have made to the point that we do it in accordance to the USDG framework on the conditional grant. Our big environment plan as well talks to this, which is inclusive of our service delivery and budget implementation plan. We are running out of land in the city. I think we have been saying this for a number of times. At some point, we wouldn't need money to keep money in our coffers for us as a challenge in the national fiscus, precisely because the land that is there does not belong to us. And even one that is there, it belongs to National Department. Farm is not strategically located for us. It is a challenge. But I think we are working with the HDA. It's trying to help us in some of the things going forward. And the last thing that I would say, our performance is not what we would like to see. We would know that at the end of this the quarter match, we are at 7%. And we thought that by that time, we'd be around 70 or so. Currently, I know we're at 72, though we're not going to report on 72. That is also a number of challenges. One, the procurement processes, the violation of the procurement processes within the institution, but we are dealing with that equally. Some of the collusion that we find between the contractors sometimes and the consultants in terms of dealing with their work and in the slow pace of delivery. We are, as the last point before I allow them to present, having a further challenge. You would know that we are faced with the illegal occupation that has been there before I even arrived, the resting story, which is something that we requested for a consideration on how to deal with the matter, but at this point in time, that matter has not been resolved. Those that are having their houses being occupied for the past 4 years or so are indicating to us that they will not take over their houses, and we must do something. You cannot take us back to those houses that where somebody has illegally occupied the house has been staying there for 4 years. And I think something that politically asked to deal with, we did, the technocrats put our advice, but I understand that they have not implemented anything around that, but it's something that we believe that the institution can be able to deal with. With your permission, Honorable Eze, can I hand over to Ryan to take us through the presentation? Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm going to take you through the presentation from Buffalo City. I hope everybody's got a hot copy. As the MM said, we will be reporting on the third quarter of the USDG as for our IDB and STBRD, as well as financial and non-financial information. Just a brief profile, socioeconomic and access to services for Buffalo City. Maybe just to say that unemployment, unfortunately, is still very high, especially in the Eastern Cape and Buffalo City. It does have a knock-on effect in terms of our indigenous register and people able to pay for services. We've also got a fairly youthful population in terms of people under the age of 19 and below. And then just to say in terms of our formal systems, we've done a baseline study for 2015 and 2011, which established it in 1954, and we're definitely working towards the first of that baseline figure, but we will deal with that later in the presentation. In terms of the medium-term strategic framework response from Buffalo City, for the upgrading informal settlements, if we work at stand cost as per the service quantum of 43,000, our target for this year is 3,796, and the five-year target of 18,000 at a cost of 828 million. And in terms of UECG of the MTRS period, we've got 679, 715, and 758. At the bottom, I did produce the DORA allocation for UECG and our allocations for HSDGs. I've just reflected in the table the capital components. And then in terms of our informal settlement upgrading services only, We had to look at our figures, and in terms of our deficit, there was a calculation error on our slides on Friday. We rechecked it. It's actually 1,000 when you add the 6, far better than 9,000 we had in terms of our original figures. In terms of our capital breakdown for the metro, looking at all funding sources, we have a capital budget of 1.1 billion rand, of which the majority, as you can see, of 639 is USDG, a small amount of capital for HSDG, and then we've also got some NDPG grant funding that's specifically targeted for the Mshane's CBD, and then smaller amounts, and then an own funding is a fair contribution in terms of 38% of our budget comprised of own funding towards mainly the upgrading and refurbishment of our infrastructure. UDG per service, just to say that we're currently sitting at the end of March, we're sitting at 61%, and there's a breakdown of all the sectors. As a financial synopsis, in terms of the transfer today, we've got a full transfer. We've, at the end of March, had a 407 million rand expenditure. At 30 April, it was at 67%, and the MM has quoted 70%, but that still needs to be signed off, but that's where we stand here. We're also doing a monthly tracking of all our projects and expenditures, and we've, in the beginning of our financial year, we actually got to graph in terms of what we are projected to finish should be, and then we report on how we're doing for all our funding sources for all our projects, and currently at the third quarter, we're back on track at 407, and hopefully we're going to reach the target of 673, but yes. Then, this is not in your slide, I just want to quickly flip through some visuals in terms of what we have been doing with our capital budget. A lot of our work or problems starts at the bulk infrastructure stage, and we've been working at the clinical treatment works, sorting out an assignment buffer strip sanitation, eastern wastewater treatment works, some rural sanitation programs that we resolve. We're also looking at energy efficiency solutions in terms of solar and alternative energy, or streetlights and geysers and smart meters, electrification of our residential areas and also of our informal settlements, the upgrading of the Queen's Park Zoo substation. Some of our major projects is rehabilitation of our roads. A lot of our focus has been on the Nansani urban roads, which, as you know, a lot of them still gravel, and it is now that kind of product that we're delivering in the Nansani township. Going to be main road, which is servicing a bigger township of Nzamonsli and the surrounding areas. It's been fairly well successful or successful product. It's also being used as a lot of training for engineering school and the engineering fraternity coming to see how to do this type of construction. The Kwareha Drive is also an important link road that's linking communities of the on the East Coast. And then within our areas, road maintenance upgrading. In terms of NDPG, we are focusing on the Nansani CBD. Rehabilitation of bridges, footbridges, connecting communities, making it more accessible for them to reach places. Our solid waste is an ongoing debate in the city, but we are working on that. Upgrading of amenities to some of the community facilities we've been working in. Fire stations, learning center in Nansani for bringing services closer to people. That's a completed product. Then the housing projects, we've got Nansani housing, Second Creek, which is not completed. That was an informal settlement located on a waste site, which is now completely upgraded. I have picked up the detail, wouldn't ask, this is the lady contractor's work, it's before and after product that we can see there. Paula Park, this is just a sample of the NAS program, the informal settlement upgrade program from the National Department. We've completed, it was a very participatory process, we know exactly where all the standpipes, the solid waste and what's going on. The people, communities have actually drawn their own plans of what's workable, and then we've got, I'm going to come back to the details of that. In our 15-16 UCG, looking a little bit to the, our financial year ahead of us, at all funding sources, the majority is going towards housing, infrastructure, road, wastewater, water, and to a lesser extent, the social immunity side of things. Targets, Madam Chair, maybe there's a lot to read here. I'm just not going to read every line, but we have set targets for our 15-16 based on our baseline. Maybe just to say that these targets will be confirmed and finalized by Council in July, as soon as we end the financial year and all the targets have been set, the baseline for 14-15 concluded. But we have set baselines in terms of what we want to reach. Not all of them is directly USDG related, but it's more in the built environment related targets we have set for the institution. And there's a lot of slides. Then in terms of USDG projects for 15-16 for internal services, we've got 53 million to site, and it's mainly focusing on Potsdam areas, Amalindas, formal areas. And then in terms of informal settlements, 63 million towards upgrading of all those informal settlements in terms of internal services. For engineering services, our citation program is to complete our ongoing programs we have on the ground, 190 million. Water is also mainly in rural water supply, and our bulk regional water schemes are 51 million. Roads in Nansani is still a big project, 185 million. Electricity, electrification of informal areas, electrification of residential units, and then our social amenities, 48 million towards those projects. And in solid waste, 21 million, and then completion of our ICP program and our LED, 10 million. In terms of ACPG funding towards on capital projects, we managed in ring things towards the Durban Village project. It's all related to the re-education development of Durban Village, and we have 94 million set aside specifically for Durban Village program, and all those are sub-programs of the bigger program. And then in terms of touch factors, that is what we're planning to roll out in the next financial year for all the projects. And there we have 521 million towards touch factors from HSDG. In terms of the youth brigade, as the province have already reported, we have notified with the council note top management in April that the program is being rolled out by the province and that we will be participating. And then as part of the de-identification, we will use 50% of our contracts towards small and emerging and youth will definitely benefit from that program. In terms of women, out of our 10 EPWP learner contracts are women, and 8 appointed contracts for housing are women. And there's also 2 subcontracts to women that Mr. Matiwani involved in, which unfortunately is discussed. So we are working towards women contractors and getting them in the construction industry. Another program which is not directly linked to this is we've a beneficiary integrated skills development grant. And we have young female graduates currently in the institution. They are electrical engineering, electricians, civil engineers, valuations, and GIS. And we've actually, I think 94% of this 5 million has already been sent. It's a mentoring program in terms of professionalization of these young graduates in the institution. And our third quarter achievements, this is for the current financial year. We have all our human settlement indicators there. In some areas we have performed better, like the number of sites is 2,454, although the target was only 2,000. Land acquisition, we've also reached our target. In terms of gravel roads, we've achieved targets. Stormwater drainage, we've achieved our targets set out for the third quarter. Domestic consumers with waters, we've also achieved targets, slightly also with the consumer means by standpipe, and that's mainly in our rural areas, but we still have to provide potable water. I'd say then also on backlog and provision basic sanitation services, we have reduced it with 513 in this quarter. On solid waste management, the 25 areas we have translated, that is approximately 124,000 households. It is a little bit, our target was achieved in that area. For informal settlement areas, we had a discussion with the department and there is no specific population, so the best that we can report on is the 10 areas of the daily schedule. Electricity, we also provide informal house of 486, and in terms of job creation, we have achieved 434 full-time equivalent jobs in this quarter. In terms of our major programs, the detailed projects for internal services and NHA, we've included all the projects and the targets and the numbers and the expenditures. I'm just going to give a brief overview of our internal services. We've got projects in region to the value of 61 million, Potsdam easier. And the town is mainly dealing with the upgrading by informal settlements and 18C is formal housing, Duncan Village program, and East London is also the Melida and the Cluster 3 informal settlements. We've got rural projects to the value of 3.3 million. Overall for the housing sector, we are at 65% at the end of quarter three. For bulk water program, we've got major programs in Winnersambisha bulk area, Amasleki water supply to our coastal areas, and we currently have a 43% expenditure at the end of quarter three. Our sanitation program, ablution blocks and chemical toilets are mainly in our informal settlements where we cannot connect to our existing network at present. We've got a best pack distribution, some bulk programs in Riesen and Spilicho. We're sitting at 51% at the end of quarter three. On our roads program, is as I said, the Mlanzane roads, the RTP housing roads, the refurbishment of those roads, rural roads upgrades, stormwater bridges, and we're already at 84% at the end of quarter three. And then in terms of electrification, it is streetlights and education of informal settlements, and there we're sitting at 62%. In our active transport area, we're doing traffic calming measures, especially around schools, in our townships, sidewalks, traffic signals, bus embayments, and bridges, and that was at 57%. Our social amenities is the upgrading. Sometimes we have to do a new community hall, our parks, our cemeteries, our sports fields, and that was at 18% at quarter three. On our weight management, we have the regional website, our ground hill that we have to refurbish. We are actually have to build new waste cells. It's quite an expensive project. And the 0% day, I can say, was at quarter three. The contractor is now on site, and they have committed to be able to spend the remaining budget that we see for waste management. We had a bit of a supply chain delay on that waste management program. And in terms of informal settlements, we've got cluster 1, 2 and 3. Cluster 1 and 2 is mainly informal settlements located within the Lanzani area. And in cluster 3 is more in the Islamic areas, Fynbos 1 and 2 and Dunkarma. And there we've already done fairly well expenditure. And then we've also got our DVRI programs in Duncan Village. So, on the NAS program, this year we are 32 informal settlements as part of the NAS program. That project has been completed, and we have now an analysis of for each and every settlement that was part of the program in terms of road, sanitation, water, and so forth. And ultimately, for the upgrading of each informal settlement, it's around about 78.5 million required. That we need to provide for. And then currently, in the current financial year, we've got mainly region projects, that's our housing program is running, and we have 283,000 expenditure. We have title deeds issued, but it's not USDG funded, we're doing that out of our own funds. And then we do have pre-1994 housing stock, and we've listed all the projects there, and out of the 8,000 units, we are still 5.3 outstanding. And the post-1994 stock, there's a long list, unfortunately. Ultimately, there's still 5,300 outstanding. Now, there's a whole lot of reasons why it's such a slow program. We've got, as mentioned, illegal occupants. Some of these houses was constructed originally on unregistered state land. There's disqualified beneficiaries currently staying in those houses. There was illegal sale of an RTP house back in the year. There's mostly disputes along beneficiaries in the case of sharing houses. in some cases deceased estates. So it's a bit complex environment for the conveyors to actually conclude, but maybe just to continue on our challenges. As said earlier, Buffalo City Party, due to our topography, it's got a very, we don't have a lot of well-located developable land that's within the ownership of the city. A lot of it is in state land, and then also bulk infrastructure to service these areas that we currently develop. It is a challenge because we cannot build a house without having water and sanitation connections to these projects. There's three other projects, recent, Dambaza and Wastewater. Two of them are still tied up in legal processes, and then the top one, it's a land dispute which is currently the NEC fund. Oh, there seems to be progress on the top one. Thank you very much. And then just a link between our USCG and HUCD. For the current financial year, what we're doing with USCG for internal services and the related projects that we're funding for top structures for HUCD. And you can see for Second Creek, we completed. There's all the projects are listed there, Madam Chair. And then just in terms of sustainability, as I said, we are contributing out of our own funds for water, sanitation, electricity and roads. We've also got upscaling of our technical capacity. We contribute or working towards urban network strategy and debt guidelines, and we've got the ISG program. And yes, and then maybe just to show that there is the detailed project which I have summarized in the presentation. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you very much. My fellow city metro, we're moving with speed to the metro of the moment, Nelson Mandela. The municipal manager will introduce the delegation and then just add. Yes. And there should be an attendance register circulating. We would really love that all of you sign that register. We want to keep tabs of who attended our portfolio committee meeting so that we can invite you again if we feel like it. Nelson Mandela, are you ready? Okay, we can go on. Still are setting out, start introducing the delegation while your technological person is preparing so that we multitask. Can we do that?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Mpilo Mambisa, the city manager of Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality. With me, Honorable Chair, I've got the Speaker of Council, Councillor Maria Hermans. As you probably know, Chair, we don't have an executive mayor. We don't have a mayoral committee. So the Speaker is in charge of a council. With me also, I also have the Executive Director for Human Settlements, Mr. Lindile Petula. And then I also have the Director for Water and Sanitation, Mr. Bermartin. That's our delegation for today, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, members of the committee, Honorable Deputy Minister, my Honorable MSC, my colleagues from the three spheres of government, I greet you all this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ.
that's so bad that Nelson Mandela needs Jesus Christ.
I must indicate, Honorable, said that it's my first time in your community, but I was happy to hear that you are a friendly person, because my previous experience with committees in Parliament has not been a comfortable one. I'm hoping then, with your introduction, Honorable said that I'm going to experience something different, so that I can even forget what is happening at home. I will run to the presentation quickly, and the officials that are with me will be able to fill up some of the details that will be required. Just as it indicated that in terms of funding that we have, the USDC for the 15-16, we have about 846 million. The HSDG, our portion is 310 million, which adds up to about 1.1 billion. And we are saying that we require about 1.7 billion. We've also just given an indication that these are forecasted figures for the two outer years. I'm hoping that honorable members have got copies of the presentation.
Okay, we will make a plan. We'll make a plan. You can have ours in the meantime. Can you just please give honorable members the officials can have copies when honorable members don't have copies. Please. Can we respect honorable members? Thank you very much.
Where I come from, honorable, they would say to support us.
Here we think it's an error.
Thank you very much, honorable. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. In terms of the informal settlement upgrading, the service size, we have a 5-year national target of 14,810, an annual target of 2,962. We are then reporting that to date, out of that target, we have done 2,587, and our own target is 4,000. And for the next financial year, our target is 2,500, and those are the targets of the outer years. We have always tried to up our target to be more than the target that we are given. Looking at the financial performance at the third quarter, Chairperson was just indicating that our total allocation of 828,863,000, we received 116 on the first quarter. We only spent 10% of the total allocation. On the second quarter, we received the 371 million, and our expenditure was at 34%. Now, at the end of March, our expenditure was at 56%. We are not happy with that expenditure, but all we are saying is that in the previous financial year, at the end of the third quarter, our expenditure was at 47%. So there's a little bit of improvement that we are not yet happy with. Now, looking at the where we spend, I think you indicated that how we use the USDG. You would notice then that in terms of service oversight, we allocated 207 million and the expenditure there is at 64%. We're also using it on the upgrading of gravel roads and provision of stormwater, and they spend 53%. And the provision of bulk water services, were at 46% in terms of expenditure, and the provision of bulk sanitation services were at 59%. That forms the 56% that I was talking about earlier. I will skip through this one. This just shows the all the directorates in the municipality, the capital budget, the directorate, of which I've already indicated, the USDG, where is it relevant. Looking at the non-financial performance, the sites that we serviced in terms of the target, as I indicated, is 2,000. I mean, it's 4,000 for the year. And the planned targets for the third quarter was 2,500. As I indicated, we've already achieved 2,587 in the third quarter, and we are hoping to meet that target. On the left-hand side is just a list of projects where we are servicing sites, Jefferson. I'm going to run quickly in this detail, because we are just highlighting some of our major projects in terms of human settlements, the Motherwell and New City, which is a new greatest project, Kwanobuhle 11, the Torenhoek. These are just some of our major projects, Kaimland Extension, Mission Vale, and Loss. This is just to give you a highlight, Honorable Chair, the committee, of where these projects are taking place. We are basically explaining these slides in terms of roads and stormwater, why our expenditure was where I reported, because of the delays in our supply chain, but even that was just indicating that now the contractors on site and work, you know, is being done, and we are hoping in this last quarter we will improve that expenditure drastically. Looking at budget eradication, Honorable Chair, our approach is a three-pronged approach in terms of dealing with budget eradication, which was approved by Council in October 2014. We believe first that what we call prong B is the most sustainable way to eradicate buckets. That is the provision of the house with waterborne sanitation and metered water connections with an integrated human settlement access to other amenities like schools and clinics and so on within the community. So we are saying that if there was enough funding, this is what we would promote, sir, in terms of the provision of integrated human settlement. The prong two approach, we are saying here that with the limited allocation of housing subsidies, the vacant service sites.
Officials, honorable members, this is an official sitting of the portfolio committee. Telephone is disturbing. Whoever is having a phone not on silent must just do so immediately, or I am going to eject you from this house. Continue, Mr.
Mayor. Yes, I'm still saying, Honorable Chair, that in terms of prong two, with the limited allocation of housing subsidies, vacant service sites are available on which the house slab is cast and the bathroom built in the final position of the house. And once the subsidies are made available, the house can be completed. This approach has virtually no abortive cost. I think what we are trying to do here is, for those that are living in informal areas, what we, in this prong too, what we are doing is to provide a slab for the whole house and put a, what we call a bathroom, which is a toilet and a shower. So that at the moment people can move their informal house or shack next to the toilet so that at least they can have services whilst they are waiting. In terms of progress, we have constructed 1,199 slabs that have been cast and 748 toilets have been constructed. This project was launched by the Deputy Minister of Water and Sanitation in February 2015. This is just a picture of how it looks like, the urban toilet. And this is just the evidence said that there was a launch by the Deputy Minister. This is the Canaan area, which was visited yesterday by the Minister of Water and Sanitation to see those slabs and toilets in the Canaan area. And then the Pong One. This is really an interim sanitation solution in the form of communal toilet facilities which will be constructed in informal settlements. This is meant to cater for those communities that are lower down in the housing beneficial list who will be staying in informal settlements longer. This approach has been endorsed by the Department of Water and Sanitation by tender stage in this approach, and we are expecting to be on site in October 2015. This is the Cordena communal ablution facility that I am talking about. I think one of the important things about this approach is that we are hoping then the community, in terms of maintenance of those communal containers, that they will identify people to clean the ablution, to also have the security from that community. So there will also be job opportunities in that approach, and we're also planning to use local contractors to actually assemble those containers. In terms of the detailed project progress, Chair, because you have a copy of the presentation, I would request, Chair, with your permission, that I just slide through this. But these are the detailed projects, as I indicated, in various areas, in terms of water, in terms of sanitation, in terms of roads, and the progress and the challenges that I experience in various projects. And then, Chair, looking at some of the challenges, I think, Chair, the issue of water use licenses, the issue of EIAs, these are some of the challenges that we are experiencing. The issues around bulk water, as I indicated, that the Minister of Water and Sanitation visited the municipality yesterday, and he has also made a commitment to support us in terms of bulk water supply. I think that's one of the huge problems that we're experiencing here, and we're hoping that probably in the next 2 years with her support, we can complete our NYFEDAC low-level scheme, which really could assist us in terms of water sources. We have been instructed already by the Department of Water and Sanitation to apply water restrictions, and we are expecting our dam levels to be around 10% by October next year. So it is really a project that we believe that we need to foster. These are some of the pictures of what we are doing in various areas. I won't really spend more time on this. It's just really to show in this last slide that in some of the areas now we are moving to this approach of a double story, which the communities have accepted, and we believe that it will go a long way in terms of assisting us with the issue of densification. So that to close off, I would like to just indicate some of the challenges that we are experiencing as a municipality. The a number of our people are settled in private land. We are making means to purchase some of the pockets of land that we can as a municipality. But also, across the metros, there are a number of areas that are environmentally sensitive, which poses a big challenge in terms of the EIA process. We also experience a similar challenge of the illegal occupation of land. I know that even the honorable members here are sometimes concerned when we evict people, those who occupy land illegally. And in most cases, we find that people do that because they are influenced by, I don't want to say political parties, but something close to that. But people get influenced to actually illegal occupy land. So that is why I say our council has been strong to say that those who do that will evict them from occupying land in illegal. The last thing that I wanted to highlight is the issue of rectification. I'm glad that the issue you already highlighted that for Nelson Mandela Bay is a huge problem. I know that the national government is very strong to say that we will only limit the rectification to 10%. And I think we are going to experience a lot of challenges in dealing with our communities that are waiting for ratification at Nelson Mandela Bay. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Minister. And thank you very much from the HODF province, especially both metros, for that presentation. We really appreciate the detail that you've gone through. That's it, honorable members. That time has come for questions of clarity, for questions, for comments, for anything else that you want to say that is not close to a political party.
Good evening to Mr. Mbalisa.
I'm going to note here. So if your hand is not up, don't cry for me, Argentina. I start with Mr. Papa. I put Honorable Ghana, Honorable Kurai, Honorable Memezi, Honorable Baker, Honorable Nangatabashi. Honorable Bam, Honorable Nangatabashi. In that order.
Thank you. First of all, let me appreciate the presentation from the Shenkei province and the metros, and also appreciate their apology for not having come. But I think they are mostly 72 Masiga and other provinces when they have come already, so they might have come informed. But let me just start with that part of the military veterans. I know for a fact that there's quite a huge number of veterans, military veterans in the Eastern Cape. And in the Nelson Mandela Metro, I haven't heard much mention of this, but I know that there's quite a number of the veterans there. The number that I see in the province, to me, seems quite low. Even the number of veterans in that area is, and I can see that as mention of that one in Lukanji, but it worries me when they not much mention the eastern part where I know they are very, very active, they've got brands and so on. That is one. I would like to get a state on that part of military veterans and whether there will be efforts to increase the number, because one member of the military parents, when he dies a statistic without having a house, it means a lot to the department. That's one. It means a lot. But another thing I know that people like to die buried in comfort. Number two, I haven't heard much of the... I know I can see that there's a problem of challenges to off contractor, but now, if you manage to meet improving the 30-day payment so that the contractors will not always have problems in this performance. You also have the rural areas in the province. Quite a number of these agencies, it doesn't seem to me that they have access or publicity that they are known in the rural areas or in other smaller towns. But I know that I suspect that there's quite a lot that is to be done and for them to be known in the province, especially in the rural areas. All those agencies, including the fleet. Now, there's that slide 23, which I think SOD didn't like much. That one of the rectification. It seemed to me that there's quite a lot of work that is not being done. I know it is costly, but what is being done then to correct the situation? But it seems that there is not much happening on that rectification in the process. Let me just hold there with the hope that the issues of veterans, I mean, of the women and youths are going to be covered in the process. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Papa, Honorable Khan.
Thank you very much, Chair, and greetings everyone, and thanks for the presentation. It's a good thing to know that the province is doing what it's supposed to be doing. Just a few questions from the presentation, and maybe sometimes it could be my eyes that don't see it. When we report, say for example, we do talk of top structures and we talk of PNG houses, but when you go and look at the report, the first page, it's like we are using a language that is not a familiar one. Because if I look at the first page, I'm trying to check there, I would say, after you say that on page 3 you talk about spending every cent and rent, but then you go to the next page, you get incremental housing programs. Those could be or could not be what it's known as the PNG or what. So I'm trying to check in there which ones will be your PNG houses, because when you go to the plans for this financial year, you actually mention that you will be building these houses, but then when you report for the previous year, it's not sort of line, like we have to try to use a, not sure whether it's a dictionary or what, to try to understand what it is that you are building. And just, if my assumption is correct, that incremental housing programs constitute PNG houses, that's page 4 of the slide, there's that column there, or column, that refers to other. The target was 2000, and we did 721. If I can clarify what the other will refer to, and I'm assuming that's PNG houses. If it's not, then you can clarify where one can find a PNG and delivery targets in the port. And then secondly, I know that there was money that was transferred from that was initially supposed to go to my own province of Limpopo. That got to the Eastern Cape. Is that money included in the 2.392, or is it then outside? And because the money came in a bit late into the financial year, I want to check how the spending in that regard is going. Because the other thing that you said that there's money that if other provinces or want to use, they can come to you and ask, and then you will give it to them. And then something like that. If I did not hear correct, HOG, you correct me, whether you have funds available to share within the SECA, or I think that's what I heard. And then if not,
you didn't hear correctly, Honorable Kuna, but I'll clarify for you.
Right. Then say if I didn't hear correct. And then I want to check with the disaster relief. You might have seen that I made quite a bit of noise with the Free State. And I'm glad that in the spreadsheet, you actually mentioned that it's not the issue that I was raising with the Free State. I want to understand what kind of relief are we talking about here? Because on one side, you are talking about the site. I mean, it is a site, I assume that there's no structure. And then you just move in and do something. But then you talk of the houses or temporary structures that you refer to. So if you could just clarify for me to understand what's happening there. Last time when we had a presentation on verification for the Eastern Cape, the average cost for the Eastern Cape per unit was running to around 200,000. That's a report from the department. You see, I don't make up these figures. The department comes and then they do the mathematics. So I just need to find out. All right.
Fine.
Yeah. And linked to that is the issue. I know that you're talking about beneficiary management, but if I hear you and also the minister manager of Nelson Mandela Bay, is that there seems to be a lot more that needs to be done on contractor management in so far as the quality of the unit that they built is concerned. Because one of the things that he's mentioning is that there's still going to be a bit of unhappiness with regard to the people that are actually waiting for the state to come in to do the rectification. So I want to understand how that quality. How are you doing? Because you mentioned that you have dealt with that very well, but I'm not sure what that means. And then the listening to the Nelson Mandela Bay, and I'm trying to, it's like everything is going well, and so forth. But then one thing that's not mentioned is that the National Department is going there. If things are going so well in Nelson Mandela Bay and the Eastern Cape, then why is the National Department moving here? Because what I'm hearing from the municipal manager, saying, no, we are going to meet the target. Yes, we are at 56%, we are going to meet the target. Nothing is said that, you know what, we can't fulfill our mandate and the National Department has to come in and rescue us. Throughout the presentation, both from the Eastern Cape provincial government and Nelson Mandela Bay, everything is doing well. So I'm asking myself, if everything is going so well, why is the National Department moving into Nelson Mandela Bay? Because we cannot say on one side that no, things are moving well, we're achieving the targets, houses are built, they are of high quality, then the National Department wants to move in and rescue the situation. But I'm not getting that from Nelson Mandela Bay. I think from the Buffalo City, you know, it's quite a difficult share. I would have loved to properly engage into detail Buffalo City and Nelson Mandela Bay, but we only got the presentation today, and you know when it's a presentation, there's time constraints, people rush through it, and so the numbers, I haven't been able to look at the numbers closely. If I do find something, then I'll try to raise it. Yeah, I think maybe next time, Chair, if we can get the documents in time so that we can ask questions, and because at this stage it's difficult to follow and try to read the next slide. But those are the questions. I think when we consider the minute, I'll make a proposal when the officials are not here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kana. Honorable Kora.
Chairman, thank you very much. The same question that I was having, the same questions like that one of Mr. Ghana, Honorable Ghana, but the one that I wanted to put an emphasis, this one of the departments and the two municipalities are doing very well. And I'm convinced also that the two municipalities are doing very well. because they are here in paper. And the municipality, just like so, Mr. Ghana, just the owner of Canada, even though the national parliament can intervene or get in, your capacity, whether allows you to convince this committee that you are doing well in the municipality. To share, is the slide number, this slide number 13 and 14, informal settlement issues, can just the department that to make me very clear about the issues of the informal settlement indicators, amount of the indicators, and the number, but the funding, I don't see anything. Is there any funding for this? And also, give it to the municipalities. I'm aware that there so as many ministers that talk about the sanitation and what, whether in the informal settlement, is there anything that we can say, and electricity. And the issue of the land also, Chair, I don't see, I see the budget 15-16, but I don't see the figure there. And I mean, the issue it talks about the number of hectares of the land that has been acquired is 231. Can just to clarify me, I really don't get the results on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kurai. Honorable Baker?
Thank you, Chair. I'm always quite intrigued. Every province that comes to the interest opens up with USDG, and they've all spent the USDG so brilliantly. I'm quite impressed with all the spending. I'm very impressed with the fact that we now have a policy, according to the Minister, which we can then use to do proper oversight over this USDG expenditure, because the number of housing opportunities that's being provided through it is a bit questionable. But I'm a bit disappointed that we didn't get this presentation in advance, but that's already in addition. But nevertheless, my own research indicates that the housing backlog in the Eastern Cape is quite huge. And at the current rate of delivery, it will take another 40 to 50 years to actually achieve that backlog. So with that in mind, it's obviously unachievable with what we are doing currently. If the province looking at other alternate building methods to help it achieve the target, methods that are far quicker, that we can cut this delivery time, you know, because I believe there are many methods out there that can actually be implemented, which are perhaps a bit more cost effective as well, but with the primary objective being cutting the delivery time. And the veterans backlog, I know my honourable colleague did touch on that, but the actual amount, because what came out in our debate last week is that the national figure hasn't actually been determined yet. It is still not finalised for the backlog for veterans. Has this been, how has the province actually arrived at its figure, as well as with the toys, the budget eradication programme? Is there an actual figure? Because, and with the informal settlements as well, all these backlogs, we know with the informal settlements it's a moving target. And is the, are there mechanisms in place to deal with this? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Honorable Baker. Honorable Bam.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation by the various presenters. Let's talk women. You have got some information supplied here on women and what has been done. It doesn't look like we have exhausted all that can be done for women, in the sense that we have got two companies here, I don't know whether they're companies or what, but it looks like there's two entities here only that are mentioned, and we seem to be knowing of a lot of other women that are operating. But what projects or what efforts are done to improve the operations of women and their companies? Secondly, you have got protests all over the place, especially in the Port Elizabeth area, Uitenhage and other areas. It is not reflecting that what is here is not reflecting what is on the ground. And I don't know whether maybe it is just a sporadic occurrences or it is the norm, but it looks like almost all the time we have got all these protests that are in those areas, especially around Port Elizabeth and in Port Elizabeth. Also, the programs that are, you and the mic, are they your enemies? I don't know, Che, it's suffocating my nose. I've got a bad cold. The programs that are available within the Human Settlements Department don't seem to be permeating to the communities. A lot of communities, especially the rural communities, don't seem to be aware of what is going on within, or all the niceties that are coming out of the Human Settlements Department. The other areas have been covered. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pam. Honorable Memezu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Joining the Honorable Member that appreciated all the presentation from the Department and the Metros. I think, we must agree that in terms of paper, the presentation look promising. But the problem is that we are politicians, we do go all over South Africa. So we can see beyond people. So the fact that one official was confessing that he even went to board to assist in his greeting because of the previous experience. So I don't think that would help. You know, officials must not run to use Jesus when they present, you see. So the reality is that there are problems in Eastern Cape. There are problems in Nelson Mandela, there are problems in Buffalo. So I think that's what you must note beyond the paper, you know, and Jesus. Also, on this issue of rectification, I think Honorable Ghana made a point. We don't usually agree, but we do agree on this issue of quality. The biggest problem there is quality. Friends that are given work are compromising government. So as a result, lot of work, lot of unhappiness is on rectification. So I'm even worried when there's the timeline on rectification. If it will assist in helping us, because there's more cries on why there's more cries on those that are still waiting. There's more cries even on those that are supposed to have been helped. So it means you are not really addressing those problems. You want us to feel good. I refuse to feel good when I know there's a problem there. We are forced to assist. There was a cry about the money dropping, but the question that you usually ask, how far have you gone in spending what you have before you cry for more? Because if you are spending more, definitely, the provinces that are not doing good are helping those that are spending. So, have taken more money from Limpopo, like one member was indicating. So, if you're spending, so how far have you? So, the spending patterns are not very good. I'm not suggesting that you are given too little. So, because your work must tell us that this is too little for you. But it seems it's not little. You are unable to finish it. On the issue of your target region, I don't know what you use to spread your target throughout the region or throughout your municipality. I agree it's a vast province, a vast rural province. I agree. But how you use, I'm not very sure, so that you try to cover all that, those vast areas. So that at least in particular, the established towns are not going down. No, you have areas such as Mtata, those towns must not really go down. They must not be easy. You go to Batawa, they must not be easy. You see, we must not go down from where we started as this government. Otherwise, you may have good presentation, but at least we go all over. We know we are embarrassed when we arrive there. So I think that is the point that you must appreciate, Uche. Your paperwork does not really impress me. In fact, I'm more worried when you present a good picture. When on the ground, the picture is not very good. You also mentioned that, that was mentioned by the matter in Buffalo where people occupy land illegally. So I think we should have a solution. You must have a way of countering it. I know you said officials have done their part, you think they're political, so, but we expect officials to advise, you know, they come up with options for we cannot sit back when people are taking, whether they are political or whatever, but land must be protected because it's for a good use of the people. So we must have a solution. It's something that I think you must help. I think, those are the areas I think that I would have. I think on the rectification, I think the department and the municipality must rethink because there's more need on the ground than what you have presented.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Mugaratash.
Thank you, Chairperson. The improvement made by the provincial department in relation to the delivery of houses in the Eastern Cape is much appreciated. Coming to the intervention in the Nelson Mandela, Chairperson, I think this should have been done earlier by the province, but nevertheless, it's been done now together with the minister, but I would like to find out where is the agreement now? Has it been signed, and where is it? When is the kickoff date for the intervention? Having said that, Chairperson, on the slide number 4, provincial slide on social and rental housing, I see a target zero on site, but there are numbers, there are figures on units. I'm worried because you have units, but you have actual. In fact, there's extra of number 5, but the target was zero. And I would like also the HOD to unpack on the next slide on the 668,000. Reflected as other, I would like you to unpack what is other. On the same slide in relation to disaster relief, and on the current financial year of 2014 and 2015, it seems as if there is no spending because there are blank columns except at the end that is tying with the planned target. Slide number 6, you are talking of more contractor staff devoted to regions. My worry is that the new act from Labor Department that is kicked in or just going to be kicked in, that you are not supposed to employ people beyond 3 months. And if you do so, then you have to take them permanently. Have you budgeted that? And how are you dealing that? Are you tightening that area, which is three months, at which point are you, do you have a budget to absorb that, because you'll be forced to do so. On your slide 8 in relation to the delivery of the current financial year, I take note that the municipalities they are still going to give you the up to the end of their financial year. But you can you convince us that the 30%, because I'm just giving you a leeway of 5% if you don't reach the entire, which is acceptable by the National Treasury from the National Department, because you are fitting into them. But I'm just saying 30%. Can you say that you will be able to spend that 30% by end of June in relation to your metros and districts? On the plans on page 9, slide number 9 on challenges, you talk about well located land, the state owned land. Yes, you provided that how are you going to check in that? But my concern is that it doesn't have a timeline. You don't give timelines. These days, because we want to really reach targets every financial year, we want timelines. They know timelines. Also, on the your beneficiary administration, your troubleshooting program doesn't have any timeline. We want to see the timeline. The last one, Chairperson, is on the land, on land hectares. For your planning for the next financial year, there is no budget for that. We would like to see the budget, planned budget for land acquisition and all of that. Coming to just one or two on the municipality.
I thought you were saying the last one.
No, that's province. Thanks, Chair. On the Buffalo City. Your report you prepared from the third quarter achievements, and then you give us your annual target for the current financial year. Because you did not go back, it's very difficult for us to compare how are you underperforming or especially where you are not on target. But let me make an example of your slide number 19. And on the water access and sewage, your numbers, your first columns on item number 1, both really number figures. Don't try. I've tried to work on it, whether it's a deficit, where it's a surplus. It still doesn't tie. It doesn't tie. So if you could just correct that. The Nelson Mandela one. On your slide number 3, also I would like your expenditure sitting at the MM city manager 56% as we indicated. But can you convince us that from April to end of June, which is 3 months, will you be able to spend 49 of rounded off of 49? Because I'm just giving an allowance for the National Department 5%, the 49%. Will you be able by then to be fair? I'll tell you why we are raising this issue.
Actually,
the chair, I'll tell you why. If you don't meet the target as a metro, the province doesn't meet. If the province doesn't meet the target, the national department doesn't meet, then it becomes a problem for that financial year. So if you. And then on your other financial performance for the third quarter, there are a number of nil. I don't like to see zeros in my life. If you could just assist that in future, you don't have blank spaces. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngangacabashe, and thank you very much, Honorable Members, for those questions and clarities. As I'm going to hand over to the delegations to respond, maybe one of the few things that I would also like clarity on is when you talk of the ratification, maybe it's important to clarify whether this ratification is pre-1994 stock or post-1994 stock, so that all our members are clear in this ratification that we are talking about. And maybe if it's both, indicate percentage, which one is bigger than the other, so that we have a clear understanding of what we are talking about. One of the, what I would love to hear, because I know that Buffalo City has raised this, But I know that it is not really their issue. They are looking at both the province and maybe the national department to assist them. The issue of the illegal occupation, particularly in the eastern area. We would love to hear how far is, are you resolving this issue. I'll tell you why, because that issue is sitting on my desk as well, as you talk. So we would love to hear progress on that issue of the illegal occupation of those houses. And one of the, I don't know, maybe because not clarified enough, when the presentation was done by the province, when you talked about the program on the title deeds, when you looked at that slide, the number of the title deeds and the amount that is there, they seem to be a discrepancy. The amount is too much, and the number of title deeds is a bit low. Maybe clarify for us what is it that you mean there. What are you talking about? Because if you talk about 450 title deeds and that kind of amount, I'm a bit worried. So maybe it's the misunderstanding. So maybe that's the language that you would like to understand from the committee side. Already, honorable members have spoken about the intervention in Nelson Mandela. And I know that the Nelson Mandela has also spoken about the challenges mainly with supply chain. Probably the national department must talk a bit about that intervention, not necessarily Nelson Mandela or the province. Can the national department talk about it a little bit, just and maybe satisfy Honorable Ghana why there was a need for that intervention when the province and the metro are saying there's progress in terms of service delivery? I think let's not really labor this to the metro itself. National department, use of it, that must intervene, clarify the issue. And thank you very much. And one of the reasons that I want to stress, Honorable Buchapa, when you talk about the military veterans program, I think we're linking this to the fact that when the minister was doing her budget, she actually said this now is going to be done in 1 year, one financial year. It's no longer 3 years. So the numbers that you are giving us are not talking to a 1 year program. I think that's the challenge that you are having. So that's why you hear the questions. So we just want to have that understanding, and because from where we are sitting, military veterans, the numbers should be higher in the Eastern Cape than anywhere else. That's it might not be scientific, but that's what we want to believe. So maybe when the province clarifies and everybody else clarifies, that's what we would want to understand. Thank you very much, and I don't know how you're gonna be responding. I'm not going to be that strict. You're free to finish where you start. If the deputy minister at some point wants to say a word, but maybe at the end, let them kill each other for now, deputy minister, and then you come in and put the badges on. I think that's what we're going to do. But also, just before I hand over, Honorable Ghana, money moving from Limpopo to the Eastern Cape, from your province to my province. The issue there, I understand your question, but I think what the HOT was saying was that if there's other provinces which are not able to spend, they are ready and willing to take the money from any other province to spend, they would want to use that money. They were not saying they got money to give. They would want to take from any other province to continue spending. That's what I understand. Over to you, delegations, to respond. Again, how are we going to do this, Deputy? We're going to allow the MEC to open, and then they will all respond, and then the Deputy Minister will then close. So in other words, one political head and political head, and then you hold all the process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jefferson, for your guidance in that respect. Just a few issues that I will deal with. That's not responding to the specific question that has been raised, but let me firstly explain the issue. And thanks for the clarity around the issue of the that we are ready take on money, not surrender money. I think it's very important that when we leave this, we must understand. If Limpopo wants to give, if Western Cape wants to give, we are ready to receive from the Western Cape that money. We have spent and we've exceeded our targets, and our figures speak for itself. It's not just paperwork, it's evidence that's there. National Treasury even went so far to come and verify what is on the ground. And it has been proven that the quality of our units are indeed what we are speaking about. Yes, we do have challenges, especially in our block project, those that we started in 2002, 97, 99, and we are unblocking systematically all of these challenges that is in the Eastern Cape. Now, when we are speaking about a backlog, and currently the backlog, if you look at the last census, is standing, was saying it was 606,000. That was what the census was saying. Now, correctly, at the rate that what we are doing, we will not be able to achieve that within 5 years. That is indeed a 30 to 40 year project. Because you can only deal your annual target within the confines of the budget that is there. And it's a very fine balancing act, because the instruments that they have to attend to, it's not just top structure. We have to deal with all outcomes, instruments on which we are measured, in the net by which we are measured by National Treasury. So the funding goes to all the instruments as outcome it prescribed for us as the province. I thought, Chairperson, it is important that we understand the confines. The presentation, perhaps, unfortunately, let me apologize if there are areas and terminologies, but this is how we receive a presentation from National on how we should then be responding to certain of these issues, but I'm quite sure that the HOD will deal with the specific issues in that respect. Terminology is not ours. The terminology in the line items comes from them, and this is the how we had to redo the presentation to fit into these issues. I must say, I need to deal with the military veterans. This is a project that is in the office of the MEC. We have a phenomenon in the Eastern Cape where we are the only province where the database of military veterans is growing every year. We do not determine the database of military veterans. That is between the provincial structure, military veterans, and the national. When we get a list for submission and we have done our project planning for the project, we submit to the national, not to the national department, but to the national DMV, to basically scrutinize. And the unfortunate thing is, each and every project that we submit to them, they will then say, these are the people that is appearing on the database, and you can then only vote for those people. Remember, if we were to go outside that and vote for everybody that claims to be military veterans, we will not be able to get the additional funding back from the DMV to top up the existing 160. And that is a great, great area for us. Surely the Auditor General will nail us for. We have to be very careful, we have to be very sensitive when we are dealing with issues. Again, there's a guideline, there's a confined setup in how we can work and deal with the issues. For this financial year, we have a target 325. In the previous financial years, we have dealt with Buffalo City because the military veterans, they were saying, we are not prepared to wait until one day you deal with the issue of the additional funding and the bigger house, the quantum and the bigger house structure of 40 square meters. So we started to build for them. A lot of them have benefited in the previous financial year out of the 40 square meter houses. This year, we are looking at Omar Tambo, 57 units, and Nelson Mandela, 67. The list of 200 of Nelson Mandela only approved 67. The city is where the big project is of 200, they were put the infrastructure to date. Only about 57 or 80 have been approved, but we are systematically working with the provincial to clear up either issues of documentation of those members. They must clear up those issues, and we will build those ones in the system. So that is the dilemma. So we are dealing with those issues and building for the military veterans in that respect. I thought there was perhaps just certain of these issues that we should deal with. In terms of the women, our target for the year is 13,100. Already our allocation to female contractors is 7,900. It is way above the 30% even. And we are very proud of what we are doing. And the majority of them are not outside of the province. They are from Eastern Cape. We also have an emerging contractor support program where we take our contractors to the incubator, where we mentor them and we put them systematically so that it was not even 3 months, but within a year, we can put them out there and say that, yes, we have mentored this. And they are doing very well on the ground.
the issue that they are so badly facing is unlocking and unblocking the issue to access finances from the financial institutions. It is a real reality within the South African landscape that we cannot look away from in deeper issues of those issues. When the HOD made the presentation, the HOD never indicated that things are well in the middle. Thanks to us, the National Department that reflected in terms of the USDG. We do not reflect in our presentation on the USDG. The metros come and they report on those issues. There is some issues between ourselves and the metro in terms of accountability, but I am hopeful now that the last minute have resolved that the metros must account to the provinces, that their communication and their relationship issues in terms of the USDG will be verified. So if we do not come here and we only see presentations here. I think the MINMEC has taken a decision around that and the metros were in that meeting. So we are clearing up those issues of line communication. Both metros did not meet their targets. Their targets, how we could meet our targets was basically through our turnkey approach in the rural areas, Amatole and Alfredenzo. Because we produced, we had to look at where was the pipeline blocking and our new service delivery model, and that is where we could deal with the issues. Unfortunately, the metros are encumbered by the fact that people are moving and migrating into the metros at such a fast pace that the current resources available cannot meet those. Buffalo City, I think every month there's a new informal settlement in Buffalo City that is merging, taking over the land. And we want to commend Nelson Mandela for taking the stance, going to court and having those people that is willing to occupy land that is identified for a specific group of beneficiaries wanting to jump at you, that they are taking action against those issues. They are one of the few municipalities in the Eastern Cape. So we must understand, because there's a ready project, there's beneficiaries waiting for 5 to 15 years to get a house, then a group of people instigated goes, we can never ever condone that. And that is what is creating these backlogs. When people want to jump and then the project stalls because you cannot move in. Yes, people do have the right to go, but we must to go to court, and we must also know that we do have a tie-in. So if we want to say that the officials must come up with solutions, Honorable Chairperson, I would plead that the National Portfolio Committee must start looking at the PIE Act and its implications on local government and try to assist local government on how to deal effectively with those issues that is hampering and preventing us from moving with speed in terms. When a person moves and occupies a piece of land and you have not evicted them within 48 hours, they become your responsibility of the local municipality. It's an inverse responsibility, it is a financial responsibility that cannot go away because now there's a rule, there's an act enforcement. That is what is saying for municipalities in this regard. I thought on some of the issues, I can just say, and pass past the National DG when he speaks, he will deal with issues of the MOA. I can just say that the agreement in terms of the province is in front of the EXCO and the Chief Legal Advisor to look at those issues in the MOU, because we are very happy with the intervention. We are very positive with the intervention. But as a province, we also have to look at the issues of the implications of an M. Coming at this point in time to the province, obviously, where the Chief State Advisor is raising certain things, and those things will be presented to the EXCO, where EXCO will then give guidance on certain of those things. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable August. Mr. Chara.
Thank you. The MEC has covered part of the intervention. It needs to be stated, Chair, that ours is a sector-specific intervention. It is a human settlements intervention. It is not a municipal-wide intervention. We are obligated by the Housing Act to provide a package of support. Perhaps it needs to be reiterated again that we had two sessions with the municipality in the last financial year. Two of those sessions were chaired by the president. Unfortunately, I attended both of them. The area of procurement in human settlements in Nelson Mandela came out very sharply in that meeting, in both of those meetings. On the 12th of December last year, the minister met with the leadership of Nelson Mandela and the officials. And again, the issue of supply chain management and procurement in particular came out very sharply in that meeting with the leadership of Nelson Mandela and the officials. it's the management of the entire process which is becoming more of a problem. And there's been an issue about the credibility of the offer system that is used as well to appoint contractors. So it is, you know, taken in that meeting of the top. And I must say that this is not a decision that was imposed by the national government. It was a request from the leadership of Nelson Mandela that we need to deal with this area of procurement in human settlements. And it is on that basis that our minister took a decision to intervene. Now, in intervening, we have a standard operating procedure that we use, and not only for Nelson Mandela, we use it in all the other networks where we have to intervene. We used it in 2008 when we intervened in the province of Eastern Cape. You will recall that in 2008 there was a national team that was deployed to assist Eastern Cape, to send Eastern Cape around. That was before the time of the MEC in 2008. And that team came up with a model, which we call it a generic model for intervention. And that model, all I did suggest, is that before any intervention, the minister, the MEC, and the mayor of the metro must sign what we call the M3 agreement, or the memorandum of agreement, which will explain the rules of engagement. And this is the M3 agreement that the MEC is referring to. You're going to serve in the provincial cabinet. They have to make comments, and it will serve tomorrow. But once the MEC, the mayor, and the minister have signed the memorandum of agreement, or the M3 agreement, the four accounting officers will have to sign the implementation protocol. The four accounting officers will be AJOD, the national DG, the city manager, and the CEO of ATA. They will sign the implementation protocol, which will make it possible for the four accounting officers to meet on a monthly basis and oversee the implementation of the program. They will be accountable to the executive authorities. In this case, it will be the mayor, the MEC, and the AJOD. So the accounting, sorry, the mayor, the MEC, and the minister, the mayor, and the MEC, yes. How can I get it wrong? So the technical steering committee will report to the Troika, which is the three executive authorities. And this program has a lifespan. It's not an open-ended exercise. It has a lifespan. Yesterday, the team was on the ground looking at the pipeline of all the programs and projects that we are managing in Nelson Mandela. We've met with the city manager and his team. We've met with the AJOD and his team already twice to prepare all the documents, all the necessary documents. We comfortably with the IP. The MEC wanted to make some few comments on the memorandum of agreement, and we're comfortable with those comments as well. We're quite convinced that before the end of this month, all the documents will be signed for the intervention to take place. But in the meantime, we're doing all the groundwork with all the relevant officials looking at some of the projects. I was there last week, Chair, where we received some, a memorandum from various communities who are very unhappy about the beneficiary allocation process. Yesterday, we also received a memorandum from some contractors who are also unhappy about the roster setting. But we're quite convinced that with the AJOD, with the city manager and the DG, we will be able to resolve some of the challenges that the metro is faced with. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is anybody else? Mr. Sir, please, we are going to still ask. Would you see anybody else that wants to say anything? Is there anybody who wants to say anything from Nelson Mandela?
Yes.
Okay. From Buffalo City?
Uh-huh.
Can we do that in that order?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable MEC colleagues. I'll go through the questions that were raised, and noting that the MEC has covered more of the political issues. The one was, do you pay in 30 days? Absolutely. We don't have a challenge, and it's factual. There are contractors who claim they put in their invoices, but when we go and verify on site what the invoice says, they're not talked to the value created. So what we then do is tell the contractor how much value we've inspected. They must change the invoice. So some of them, they sit in a office and they prepare desktop instead of going to check on site. So our inspectors, our value chain works in that way, that by the time the invoice comes to head office, it must be accompanied by an inspector's report of actual value created, and also the NHPRC certification of that particular milestone has been achieved. So there's our system is quite intact on how we pay. So you'll find some contractors will claim 5 million rand, but we end up paying them 1.5 million. We don't reject the whole claim. We go and verify on site, and they agree with us that that's the value created. Some of them try to give 5 million so that they can have cash flow. Their cash flow is not our concern. The value on site is our concern. What are we doing about other incidents, such as the FLISP, Honorable Tapa, especially in Lusikisiki? We are, if you take Engobo, it's a rural town, but it is a regional center, and there's quite a bit of high activity. We're trying to get SHIs to get interested in that there is an SHI, especially in Novo, for example. And we're saying that to the with the other instruments that we have, there's an agreement with the Department of Health in the Eastern Cape to try and get accommodation for health professionals. We're still busy in the feasibility stage of how would that work, because government, the Eastern Cape government rents houses for its health professionals, and yet we have an instrument that can provide for them. The other thing we are saying is to the private sector, the FLIS is only a contribution from government. It's not a product of government. It's a product of the private sector. And we listen to private sector people when we have the contractors meeting. If you put a low-cost specification house that banks now bond, we can guarantee that if you don't sell it, we will buy it and put a beneficiary in. So if they don't lose anything. We just have been speaking to quite a few developers to go into that space of creating an opportunity for those communities who are in outlying areas in particular. There is a rural allowance that's given to some professionals of government, and that can also be used for rental stock. What are you doing about rectification? Across the province, I can give a figure. Last financial year, we on post-1994, we spent 460 million rand. Pre-94, we spent 11 million rand. The pre-94 is project-based, and the focus tends to be more on those communities that are requesting the post-94 certification. But I think I'll just jump to Honorable Garner's point that there was a report that said we spent 200,000 per unit. If you divide an actual, we spent 2,770,000 rand in the last financial year on rectification. We rectified 3,271 units, which means on average the spend is 144,000. That's an average spend. Now that includes the assessments that are done and a range of other activities that are not value created onto the product itself. If you break up the budget of the Eastern Cape, the 2.392 billion that we were allocated and the products that were produced, we produced 26,609 units, and if you really do that calculation, you're looking at 89,000 per product in the Eastern Cape. That's our spend. And that's not even counting bringing that into rectification into that amount. That's actual products that we use. We guard it jealously, that the difference between product cost and value for money for the region. So once one of the regions seems to be drifting, they're spending more, and there's less productivity, we put the brakes on. We had that challenge over Tambo in the last financial year. By September, we put the brakes on, and we said we want finishes, we want products to come out of the region, and it's working well. The definition of results, we've got is the product, is the top structure, and the other would be the instruments within, as the Honorable MEC has stated, the outcomes eight, the different elements. But what I wanted to suggest rather than almost sounding like I'm the Senate. I think we need a separate, the MEC could also show me before we start. We will give a bit more detail on what that other means for the benefit of the committee, because there are those different instruments, the extended housing program, the individual subsidies, the social housing, and the range of other instruments. I think we just want to apologize, we didn't put that much detail of that. Disaster relief, we are trying to separate honorable members. What is an emergency? What is a temporary accommodation and what is a permanent solution? We've taken a position through the honorable MEC in the province that we don't get into the space of emergency. We will partner with municipalities to deal with emergencies. Because once we start tampering with roof sheets and door frames, then and there's no NHKRC as well, you start going against the housing code. But where the municipality has a direct mandate for immediate relief. So we are testing it with Alfred and Joe. We're going to allocate them funding so that they can help us. And what we did, instead of us as a proper setting the rules, we've asked Alfred and Joe to give us a proposed policy on how they would manage it as a metro and as a district. And we're quite advanced in doing that. Where we still need to adapt is when you go from a temporary shelter to a permanent solution, there's still a gap. And that gap, as I was saying earlier, is influenced also by someone who says they are beneficiary, but when it comes to a permanent solution and you need to register them on HFS, they earn more than they should to get that necessary relief from the state. The need to do more on contractor management, the quality of our contractors. In 2012, we fired 70 contractors, 70 contractors. We just went and we cleaned out across the province. There are those contractors who were spending 7, 8, 10 years on a site, and deliberately so. They built 50 units out of a 500 project. They wait for the increase of the subsidy. We chased 70 off-site. We currently, in the past financial year, we were on 30 odd. I could be head of legal easier. You can give the accurate amount of how many contractors we gave letters of termination. What we do first, we give a notice of breach. We then give a termination. We usually take a zero tolerance stance because once we issue a notice of breach, the chemistry is broken on site. And our view of the ability for the contractor to understand that site and what they're supposed to do is lost. Because you'll find 10 months a contractor hasn't built a single house. And there's no way that contractors is going to be able to build it just because you threaten them with the bridge. So some contractors, we negotiate them off the site. And they are quite prepared to face contractors. Some contractors tell us how wrong we are. We're in a complex environment. We say, if you feel we're wrong, take us to the necessary third party so that we don't argue about who's wrong and right. It's not our egos. There's legal processes that can decide who's right or wrong. But once you say, let's go to court, contractors tend to say, no, the courts don't understand the built environment. They're going to be on your side. So I think we're quite comfortable with the breed of contractors. There was a perception that there's no grade 6 to 9 contractors in the Eastern Cape. That's not true. We have over, I think it's over 80 on our database, and contractors that are of that caliber in our province, and 70% of them are Eastern Cape-based contractors, and they're performing quite well on site. 30% of their work goes to emerging contractors that are in the area, and it's working quite well. Fortunately with us, you don't only have a counselor, you've got a chief as well in most cases, so you've got the pressure to do the right thing. Because there's always conflicting interest from the chief and the councillor because of the different constituencies that they represent. So we continue to make sure that contractors don't take the state for a ride and to the detriment of
Christmas.
I was trying not to look at the MEC because I know she would. The issues, honourable members, has gone. There were quite detailed issues on the slides. I was going to propose that I deal with those because if the information would need to be accurate, and I don't want to, on record, you know, just make statements that would not be factual. ABT, Honourable Member, I want to humbly submit that the marketing of ABT is different to the reality. Most companies say it's quicker. Now, that's not true, because whether it takes 5 hours to build a house, alternative technology, you still need 4 days to cure the foundation. So it's 4 days and 5 hours. So what they do is they present to us that I can build your house in 5 hours, and I can build it cheaper. But the minute we give them a project, and we've got actual experience with every ABT project in our province, the minute you give them a project, the complaints start from companies, and we can give you, on our database, we have 35 alternative building technology companies. Only 7 of those 35 have AGRIMA SA to say that the technology is approved. And we only allow contractors that have that AGRIMA SA. The point is taken of the frustration we have as government to make sure the backlog is addressed. And we do offer the opportunity to alternative building technology to come in. But we are a bit wary, not conservatively to keep them out, but we are just careful that we don't, the marketing. There was one company that built a free house, and the president went to handle the free house in Mthatha, and they already passed away the morning that the president came to the house. He then gave that same company 700 units. They gave the project back, because their technology is good, but the implementation of the technology just doesn't work. So we're still busy trying to replace them on the sites where they were allocated units. But we are working on them. So just to move a bit faster, as we... I just wanted to ask Honourable Chair, there was a statement made by Honourable Member saying that friends are given work. If we could just get that information so that we can deal with it, because we have a zero tolerance to corruption and nepotism or any form of favoritism in the Eastern Cape. So that information would help us to then address the issues that relates to, because we consider our tender processes, we go to provincial treasury as well, to be quite the integrity is there in how it is done. You must spread the work to Butterwood, that was mentioned. If you drive to Butterwood now, as you drive, there's a project called Sianda. It was an informal settlement upgrade. On your right-hand side, you see something that looks like a suburb. It's not a suburb, it's RTP houses. Beautiful houses. On the left-hand side is where the informal settlement is. In the middle of the informal settlement, we took away about 150 informal shacks and put up a school with the provincial government. So that is one of the best examples. You go through Aiducha, there's beautiful homes. We're trying to get trees, a fruit tree plus a shade tree for each house. Wherever you go across the province, we've got examples. We are spreading the work, and the communities are quite happy with what we're doing. Moving a bit faster, disaster relief coming back, we were given 100 million. We are working on how to distribute that across the contract workers must be permanent after 3 months. We currently sorting, we don't have the equitable shares of province to effectively fund the management of our conditional grant. So what we did is then got 110 contract workers, not on the Ogone grant, but as task specific contract workers for 5 years. The opinion we're looking for is to say that the effectiveness of the law, of the review of the law, is after we had employed. So we're trying to get around that because it will be a disaster if we have to employ the 110 people. The timeline to reach the targets, the land budget is 31 million. Honourable Member, that asks how much do we have in the budget. Let me stop there for now, Honourable Chair. Just the comments that are part of social housing. We wanted new SHIs to come on the stream, particularly black-owned SHIs. There are now 4 in the province that have provisional accreditation, but there is a slow uptake on projects. There seems to be a dependency on states rather than the SHIs being creative in generating projects for themselves. So it is going slow on social housing, but the province is preparing the pipeline to make sure that when the momentum picks up, there's 9 SHIs that are currently have projects in pipeline, and that's for us the big challenge is going to be funding those projects, because each of them are in excess of 100 million rand per project. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Shapley.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think firstly, Chair, let me apologize to the Honourable Members for the presentation received late. To be honest, Honourable Chair, we never expected to present here. Maybe it's a communication problem. Issues of capacity around supply chain, Chair, I think I can only indicate, Chair, that in our qualified audit opinion, supply chain was raised by the Auditor General as one of the area of weakness. We started the last financial year without the head of supply chain, which we have since employed. We are continuously improving capacity within supply chain, and we have not reached a level where we can say we've got a strong team within supply chain, but we are improving. We've also restructured even our bid structures within our supply chain processes. I just also want to touch there in terms of the capacity within human settlements. I think honourable members would be aware that we have received the accreditation grant, and there are various initiatives even in that area in terms of continuously improving the capacity. I think, Chair, the issue of problems with Nurse Mandela, the presentation was really prepared based on the format that was required. But I agree with members, there are a lot of challenges with Nurse Mandela. And I think, Chair, maybe if the committee could have time to engage on those issues, I think even my honourable speaker would be better placed to engage in general in terms of what are the challenges that are experiencing now and again. But I just thought, Chair, that I can just highlight some of the issues that are related to the portfolio committee. As I indicated in the presentation, integrated human settlement is a priority at Ms. Mandela. Rectification is a priority to the communities over there. So, unfortunately, Ms. Mandela, if people are unhappy about something, if you've been waiting for rectification for some time, they believe that the solution is to get into the streets, burn tires, and so on. So we do have challenges across. We've got challenges of SMEs that are demanding their portion of work. We have challenges, as you said, that those who get evicted in land, they also show their unhappiness by protesting, you know. The issue of involvement of women, Chair, I think in our next presentation, really, we will make sure we cover that, because we believe we are doing quite well. I think our women contractors are well over, after that, I think they are majority in this area. The issue, Chair, around the, I just wanted to mention that the issue of the intervention, I think, Chair, the intervention is welcomed by our leadership. It's just that, I mean, our leadership was briefed in terms of the intervention. It was well received. The only challenge, as you know, Chair, is the changes now that we envisage, and we will have to brief the new leadership in terms of the intervention. But I think the recent protest, for instance, which ended up with the handover of the memorandum, I think contractors are just worried about, you know, whether the opportunities that were there for them are still going to be there.
which we have been saying, we haven't reached a level of talking how in terms of safety intervention. In terms of expenditure, Chair, the last one, I think, Chair, you are asking me a very difficult question. I think in the presentation, Chair, I was trying to show that by the end of the third quarter in the last financial year, we're at 47%, and we managed to spend all our allocation at the end of the financial year. This year, we're at 56%. I can just say that, Chair, that we see that as an improvement, and we are still confident that we will be able to spend. In April, we had 65%, if I can just mention that. But as I mentioned, Chair, that some of the challenges really are challenges that we were not expecting, you know, like for instance, you would find that we get SMMEs going to our sites and stopping work, demanding to be given work, you know, by contractors that have been allocated. So some of the things are beyond our control. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mbanza, but I can assure you that question didn't come from the chair. It actually came from the honorable member. But it's fine because they are speaking on my behalf. So I keep the collective responsibility.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. Just on first on illegal occupation, I think the land that belongs to us, we have the process now legally that we are considering to protect it. But I think the biggest problem is that some of the land belongs to the National Share, the National Department, the Department of Public Works. Now, when we attempt to prevent that, it becomes a difficult issue because you are not owning the property. Now, what we have done in discussing with those that are having land in our own area, that they must indicate the land that they are going to utilize and the land that they are not going to utilize. In a case in point is the land that when you land at our airport, there's land there. That land belongs to the National Department of Public Works, and in terms of the environmental impact assessment, that area is not suitable for human settlement. And it's going to be a big issue now because the forest next door, the site has been destroyed, and now it's affecting the illegal connection. That affects up to Humpback now, because when they connect illegally, that affects the whole belt towards the border site. I think it's a big problem. So we will pronounce all that the area that belongs to us, but also are interested in making sure that even if it's another share of government, they play a role in protecting the land and identify whether they're going to build or they're going to do certain things. But they say that there are offices that they're going to build in that area. I think Buffalo City is only having about 15% of land. The rest does not belong to us. That's why I was saying the issue of housing at some point is going to be a bit of a challenge. The other thing that we want to raise, if really I think we were responding in terms of the template, what indicate in the previous years what was happening. I think the city was a bit of having a challenge in terms of human settlement, but I can show you now. At least last year there was an improvement, just that would be sending the size of comparison. But so I think even where we are now, in terms of the spending, we are not that much happy. But the Human Settlement Directorate has been complaining during the adjustment budget that they need additional funding because what they have to have depleted their own funding going forward. So there is an improvement, but at least we thought that this will be far. We had similar problems. I think the business forum in the area of Tanzania, people wanted to be subcontracted by main contractors. And the biggest challenge that is the city. You are unable to tell the main contractor, take this contractor and this one for subcontractor. Otherwise, if there's underperformance, you must know that you will be as well be accountable for that underperformance. You rather deal with the main contractor. But you encourage the local content in terms of dealing with the matters. So at least there is some improvement, but not to our satisfaction in some of the areas. Because the emphasis is the AG now is emphasizing. If you are able to spend 70 million in 3 months, what are we waiting for? Now, that's the fight now we are putting into government access technocrats, that you must then justify if you will be able to have a spike just before the end of the financial year. You must be able to show the product where it's quality, it has been effective, it has been efficient, and the value for money. I think AD now is going to concentrate on that. This is the project, is it in the IDP, has it been delivered in the required time? Is it the right product at that point in time? Is it utilized? So that's the issue that we are trying to grapple with now going forward. So we are now, if we can indicate now, we are 72% now, if we were to ask who, today we are 72% in terms of our spending. But we cannot 100% say we fully spent, because we might have there are a number of challenges that we're looking at. Some are in the legal matters, where contractors will challenge certain contractors, so we are dealing with those as well going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, officials. I think that time has come now to hand over to the Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to all members and their inputs. But I just want to say that allow me, Chairperson, to thank the MEC of Eastern Cape for the good work around the Government Day Awards. And the fact that we have those awards is King Sabah Kalinye, moving away from the city to the rural areas. So that was very well organized. Attended on behalf of the Portfolio Committee by my farm. I think that was very good. On the two presentations, both the DCM and National Mandela Metro, we commend you on the expenditure on the USDG. But if there is a shift now, at least we can see the expenditure are related to humans area, which is a definite shift from the past to the present. I think we commend you from doing that. That's very, very important. I just want to say, with regard to the issue of military veterans, we understand that Minister spoke about the year. I think allow us to go back to Minister and visit the matter, because definitely they're not going to be able to answer that question because they were not yet informed about that. Let's go back to where we are all there and revisit the issue of our target regarding military veterans, and we'll come back to you, Chairperson. And that the other issue here related to the issue, I'm very happy when Nelson Mandela agreed that his problem is Nelson Mandela. I was a bit worried with the first statement. And I was even thinking myself, you can't ask a patient to diagnose himself. The doctor must come in and be able to address the issue. But I'm happy with your response, definitely. It shows that we are on one mind. Because at the end of the day, the technical response in terms of expenditure, yes, it's very, very, very good. But not all what you are talking about. It's what you said at your presentation, that you don't have the mayor, you don't have the mayoral committee, and all other related issues. But what's critical is that we are all on track and we are going to improve on those areas of work. One of the things that is very, very important with the urbanization, rapid urbanization, which I commend the Eastern Cape from doing, is the investment on secondary towns. Because our focus should not be on the city, on the metros themselves, but the secondary towns. Hence, the investment in Dujua and Powers, as we are commending. So it's important that we go to all other towns and show that the pressure of the cities we are absorbing going forward in terms of human settlements. And when I speak to the issue of BCM in terms of the land issue, yes, we have housing development agents, we have HDA. You should utilize the expertise of your HDA in the acquisition of land, but also in auditing who those lands belong to. And on your behalf, negotiate with those departments. But at the end of the day, we're of one mind, because all houses, government houses, and land should be utilized for housing. But it's critical that we do that. But I just want to warn you with regard to the spike of expenditure before the end of the financial year. That's just called gambling. That's illegal. As far as we're concerned, I think that is the issue. I think DPG did really speak on the issue of intervention. I don't think we should go far as far as that is concerned. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, and thank you very much to all the delegations that are here. I think from the Portfolio Committee side, we want to particularly express our gratitude that the delegations that are here are senior compared to the ones that we have had in the past. We raised the issue when we were doing the budget debate again. You know, in some provinces, we would receive delegations without an HOD. We would receive delegations from metros without a municipal manager. But this time around, I think our call has been really been listened to, and we are very grateful. We would really want to appreciate the fact that you take our work very seriously. when we want to interact with you, we realize that we want your senior manager to come and help us, so that you are able to understand what is going on. And I really want to, in particular, thank the speaker from Nelson Mandela. In the midst of all the challenges that are happening there, she left Nelson Mandela. She's here. Well, she doesn't even know that when she goes, she will still be the speaker. But she is here. You know, thank you very much. That's for me. That's what it is all about. The working relations between the three spheres of government and making sure that Parliament is able to interact with all of you. We obviously are not 100% happy with some of the responses, but as you all know, this is one of those first interactions we're going to have with you, which there's going to be many of those. In some instances, we will be coming down to your city, to your provinces, sometimes unannounced, sometimes announced, but we will be there, because that's part of our oversight work. But thank you very much, and we hope that you have had a good experience with our interaction, Mr. Mbambisa, Mr. Fani. At least you wouldn't reluctantly refuse to come back. It has not, you were saying when you were presenting, you are hoping that you have had interactions before with some of the committees, and hoping that you have had a better interaction. But it doesn't mean that when you come back, it will be the same. We always say this, in this committee, we allow you the first round to be comfortable, so that at least when you come back, we take you by surprise. But at least you have had a good experience. The meeting is adjourned at this juncture, but I'm going to ask the panelists to stay behind, because we just want to finish off. But the officials and everybody else can be excused. Thank you very much.